Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Hey, Lon.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. It's been a while.
It has.
You live over, San Francisco area, I believe?
No, I live in California. I live in Southern California in Long Beach.
Oh, nice. I lived in Escondido for a while.
Okay, awesome.
Nice. So, okay, I appreciate you taking a bit of time on this. I like talking to other authors, and we've met, so that's always a good thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Okay, we'll just get right into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself first, who you are and what you like to do other than writing.
Okay. Name's Lon Varnador or Lon E. Varnador. Both. I use both as pen names. So, I mean, born in California, raised here most of my life. I had a very brief stint on the East Coast for a few years. But California, I've lived 90% of my life. Love to do reading. Love to play Dungeons and Dragons because I'm a gigantic nerd. I have because of the whole thing with quarantine, I've fallen down several YouTube holes. So. and I also just recently moved, so I've also, you know, I'm finding that I need to unpack more, and I'm even more of a procrastinator than I thought possible.
It's funny how those things like point out the worst parts of yourself that you don't care mm-hmm. to admit.
Yeah.
So in D&D, what's your favorite character type to play?
I love the first character I ever played was a ranger. And I've always loved that character and that character class. But I do love playing the wizard, the really smart book guy, you know, who's carrying around the book and sits in the back and throws spells and just like, you guys go handle the difficult stuff. I'll be over here throwing fireballs. You'll be fine.
Right. I always like to play characters that have some sort of like problem or whatever. And I played a giant character once mm-hmm. and made myself afraid of the dark. And little did I know that the DM had the very first thing was we get attacked and we have to run through tunnels without lights. So I held up the whole group and we almost got stuck in a cave-in. And one friend was ready to kill me. He's like, why do you do this? I'm like, because it's fun. Yeah. It's telling stories in a different
way.
Yeah.
No, I love giving you give a problem to the character. It's right. Not just, oh, well, I'm a great heroic, blah, blah. No, that's silly.
It gets boring.
It gets really boring really quickly. So yeah. Just.
Yeah. I played a thief that he was a better fighter than a thief. I burnt the whole hotel down once because I insisted on exploring at night and I tripped out the window and fell right onto some guards. Mm. So, yeah, that's bad for a thief.
Yeah.
So, you grew up in California, you like D&D, you're a nerd. What brought you to writing? Why did you want to start writing?
Something that was always instilled in me, even as a young kid, was reading. At first, I was just completely against it. It's like, oh, My parents wanted me to read, but I don't want to read. I want to do it. Can't you just like, or at first it was something like, well, I don't want to learn how to play this game. Could you tell me how to do it? Read the instructions yourself, but I don't want to. So, but I started reading. I actually started reading because in like high school, they make you do like a 15 minute in English, like a 15 minute reading break. Mm-hmm. Like at the beginning of the class, it's like, all right, for 15 minutes, you are reading silently, and it's like, oh shit, I gotta find something. And so my parents are they are voracious readers and would read all kinds of thrillers and mysteries and stuff like that. And I got one of these books, and it was the Cat Who book series.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that.
Actually, I haven't.
It's a series of books written by a woman named Lillian Jackson Braun.
I recognize her name.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's a series of book stories, it's a series of mysteries, like sort of cozy mysteries, because it's a newspaper reporter who solves these different crimes, and always that one piece of information, that one clue that leads to everything, is solved by either Coco or Yum Yum, one of his two Siamese cats.
That's great.
Yeah. And and the thing is I tore through the book, and the thing is my parents had maybe 15 of them, and just tore through all of those, and then started to read like other short story collections that I'd gotten from, that I've been collecting over time. And then I just really fell in love with science fiction and fantasy. More science fiction at first, and then I was actually 20 before I actually read The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings for the first time. And then afterwards it was like, and goodbye.
Right.
And I just left and became a giant fantasy nerd too.
I think that's cool that you didn't care to read and you found that book that sparked it, and then it opened it up to everything.
Yeah.
And that's so important with the different books that are out there, trying different things, reading different things, especially for kids. And I say that because I've been writing middle grade. So part of it is always you want to make sure you're writing something or presenting something to the kids that they're interested in, that they want to read. And kids have so much interest in various things.
Yeah.
You know, we settle down, I think, a little bit more as we get to be adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At a certain age, you kind of like find your niche and just sort of continue in that vein.
Right.
So
what's the last couple really good books you've read that you remember and enjoyed?
There's this Chris Fox series, which is this very sci-fi, like science fantasy type of thing. And it starts with Tech Mage, and I'm on the second book, and he's already written like 7 or 9 of them. Because the dude's a machine. He's just like, he would turn out a book every 3 weeks or almost, it felt like. So like Tech Mage, and I can't remember at the moment what the second one is, but I'm also reading Recursion by Blake Crouch.
Oh, and Jay recommended that one.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's just a trippy book.
Really? I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. It's about memory, and just, it's really cool. Yeah. So I recommend.
I I've heard the name a couple times. I'm a computer programmer too. Hmm. So recursion in computer programs, when a function calls itself over and over. Yeah. I'm just like, so are there parts of the book that go back and repeat again and keep going?
But not quite.
I'll have to check that out, because I've gotten turned on to Blake Crouch a little bit myself.
Yeah. I discovered him. I've heard from various podcasts and friends about him, and then I heard the interview with Jay, and so I started actually with his Pines, the Wayward Pines trilogy.
Okay.
And the first one was really good. The second two were just sort of like it was more of a I thought they were good. They kept my interest, but the first one was the best of the three.
And obviously, he's gotten better since then.
He's gotten a lot better since then.
Something we all try for.
Oh yeah, no, it's like you always try to make better, but right. Better books every single time.
Right.
So.
Okay, so go from there. When did you start writing, and what was that like? And then what was the first book or two that you came out with?
For someone who at first didn't like to read, I did like to sort of like create stories in my head and just write strange things. I always remember in different English classes loving the story prompts that you could get.
Right.
And especially in like high school and like in high school, that's when it was sort of like, I love doing those prompts. And I would do them like, and the thing is like, everyone else would be like, it'd be like half a page. I'd be like 4 or 5 pages. But I started with more like a science fiction bend to things, obviously, because that's what I was reading. And then after Lord of the Rings and I got into the whole fantasy thing, I started writing a lot more fantasy-oriented stuff. And I knew that I wanted to do science, like I wanted to be a writer. That was my thing. By the time I first went into college, I was a political science major.
Ooh.
And then I realized that, no, this is not what I want to do. I want to do something else.
So what you're saying is, if anything's going to turn someone into a very dedicated writer, it's being a political science major.
Exactly. So after I was asked to leave the first college that I went to.
That's not good.
Well, it was one of those like, hey, everyone gets a 2.0. You know, it's like, hey, everyone passes their first quarter, right? Yeah, no. I went to Cal Poly Pomona for a very long time and did not ever get a 2.0.
We want to give you the opportunity to go somewhere else.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I think it'd be better for you to explore educational opportunities elsewhere.
Right.
All right. But I actually have a master's degree now. So.
Oh, that's great.
College became a little bit better for me and easier.
That's kind of an analogy to writing, right?
Basically. But the first actual like real attempt I made at writing was a book called Mostly Human, which is a science fiction novel, with a little bit of a, like a noir twist in it. It's about this clone detective who's searching for a serial killer and worked on that for years and years to try, you know. It's like, it's one of those, like, I started it in 2008, that's right. 2008 is when I started it, and I basically said, okay, I'm doing this, and I pushed publish on Amazon in November of 2016.
Wow.
No, 2015.
So still 7 years.
Yep. So it's been, and the thing is, that specific book has been through many, many, many changes and revisions. And I actually just re-released it. New cover, expanded, all kinds of, you know, with many different things than the original book.
So I assume during those 7 years, you weren't writing like 100 words a day and continuing, and then boom, you were done. I assume you wrote, you rewrote, you learned, you changed, you read, you got feedback.
Yeah.
What was all that like for you?
It was a very difficult process. There were days, weeks where it's just, I should be working on something else. Because I had a full manuscript of it. But the thing is, there was that part of me that kept going, maybe one more revision, maybe one more. And so I'd go through it and I'd try to work on it. I'd try to change it. And then, you know, I'd say, okay, set it down. I'm done with this. I'm going to go off. I'm going to write a different thing. And, you know, I would start four or five different projects. All of them would sort of implode, or I'd get 20, 30 pages into it or something. And then just, you know, it would die. But eventually, it was more than anything, the reason I hit publish is it was forcing me to, okay, you got this, you need to publish it. And I'd been hearing about the Amazon and the whole self-publishing thing for a number of years. The thing is the one downside I will tell any indie writer is if you come from the academic type of MFA background, they are, at least a lot of people at my school were anti-indie and still are to an extent. They're a little anti-indie. Indie author. And for a number of years, I listened to them and I wasn't looking at the actual data. I wasn't looking at actual like article. I was looking at the articles going, but there are all these success stories. Yeah. But you know, if you're an indie publisher, you're basically, you know, it's vanity publishing. I'm like, all right, well, I won't do that. So, and I just kept pursuing like actual publishing, like an actual like traditional publishing deal, and kept getting rejected and kept getting rejected and kept getting rejected. And then finally just 2015 is like, and no.
So do you think if you hadn't been in that environment with the feelings of negativity towards indie, do you think you might have published sooner? And do you think that, how do you think that affected where you are now? Do you think it may have actually helped because you kept pushing harder, or do you think it hurt you some? What are your thoughts on all that looking back, you know, 3-4 years later?
Looking back on it, I mean, I wasn't part of the Kindle Gold Rush, and I could have been, but I mean, who knows? Like, it's very possible that I could have still put it up in when the first big thing of Kindle was going on and gotten $0. So, I mean, it's more of a, eh. I felt as though I did learn things, and just, I also understand when I see myself going in that direction where I was of just revision after, like, I need to like focus on this one scene. I need to do this. And it was just, there's a difference between like tightening up a scene and going, okay, this is just me. I'm simply trying to avoid actual work and avoid actually doing something.
Right.
So
then you published the first one. And since then, 3 or 4 years, what have you done with that book, with any other books?
I published it. I pulled it down to try to get it published. Actually found an agent, talked to a lit agent about it. She said, take it down and put another 20,000 words into it, because it was 80,000 and she wanted, okay, it needs to be at least 100,000 for me to even sell it. So I did. And then send it to her and she says, I'm sorry, it's a great book, but we don't want it. I'm like, all right, thanks. So I tried a few more times, but at the same time, I was still writing other series and working on these other series and ideas that I had. I've got a very bad sci-fi, military sci-fi series of shorts. I've got some paranormal, like urban fantasy type things. A Weird West story. And the problem is these were all like shorts. These were all like little starts of like a serial story that got to a point, and then I just stopped. And it was just, and the thing is I never went back to them. And and that also helped me figure out that I actually discovered that I actually have ADHD. And I've actually been getting, and the thing is it helped, and I'm actually, since I've been on the meds for it, the focus has been a lot better, to the point of I was able to relaunch Mostly Human two months ago. And then just today, the pre-order was filled for this other series that I'm starting called Junker Blues. The first one is Junker Blues Mars. And currently I'm working on the second for Mostly Human and for Junker Blues.
Okay. So a couple questions with all of that. Yeah. You tried traditional. Mm-hmm. Have you given up on that and want to just focus indie, or do you still think maybe sometime you might try traditional again?
I've thought about it, and there are stories that I sort of have in my head that I could think if I were to try for a traditional deal, I could use one of these stories and try that way. I mean, I'm not opposed to being like some type of hybrid indie and having a traditional contract with something. Like I'd be fine with that. But it's getting my name and being a published by one of the big top five, or even any of the vanities. Smaller press. That's what I meant to say. I'm very sorry. That is, oh God, I feel bad now. The smaller presses. I would still like to try that. I would still like to get a deal with any type of small press, big or small. But at the moment, I'm a little bit more focused on like on indie and trying to create income through that.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple different genres, different types of books you wrote. Yeah. And what's pushed a lot, if you listen to podcasts, websites, training and all mm-hmm. that, is pick a series of a genre and write a whole series in that genre and then write mm-hmm. another series in that genre. You yeah. did completely different. Do you
I
feel
did
that was
different?
And is that was, good, bad, or...
It was an interesting experience. I'm curious if I could try and if I might actually be able to do something like that again, because as I said, what I was trying for was a serial. I was trying for serials. I was doing like 40, 50 pages, 30 to 50 pages of a chunk of a story every month or every month and a half or something. That's what I was trying for. I was trying for to build up a story that would eventually I'd get like, you know, at the end of season one and be like a big, thick, well, all in one compassing type of story at the end. With everything that I've learned and learned through the years, I'm curious if I could do something like that again. But I also think that I would do something a little bit different with it. I wouldn't necessarily put it on Amazon. I would probably do it to a Patreon page, which I have, which I just haven't done anything with for a long time. So
That's interesting. You mentioned that because I'm doing kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. I've got an I have a series start that I've been working on, mm-hmm. but I wanted to do a serial posted to my website, a chapter mm-hmm. a week. And so I made it the young version of the characters in the main right. series. So that I haven't seen much with that, but I haven't really promoted it a whole lot mm-hmm. yet. So I'd be interested to follow up with you later to see if you've done any more. So just keep that in mind for a couple months, a year down the road or something. So, for the future, mm-hmm. over the next year to 5 years, what do you see yourself doing with your writing and your writing career?
I mean, if we're dreaming big, I'd love to have multiple series out. I've got about 7 different story ideas sort of thrown onto a whiteboard now and kind of looking at when to work on those and work on them, get covers made, start writing and plotting and working on all of those. Working on audiobooks for everything, actual print books for everything. I mean, it'd be cool if somehow, you know, Amazon and Netflix gave me a streaming series. That'd be awesome.
That would be great. Okay, so let me look here. Any other thoughts or a question I didn't ask that you were wanting to maybe say something about? Words of wisdom to other authors?
I mean, you don't have to write every day. Poke at your story every day. Don't let revision and editing just consume it. Once it has gotten to a point, send it out. Even if it's bad, you can work on it again. You can edit it again. There's always the edit button again.
Right.
And don't stop. Don't give up.
Well, that's great. Coming from somebody who's been doing this for 12 years now, mm-hmm. and is still at it. I think that's very important. A lot of people, you know, spend 6 months writing one story, put it out, and then like one person buys it and it's their mother. And then they kind of give up. You know, you just got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. So Lon, tell us again, a little bit what your author names are, where to find you online.
Okay. It's Lon Varndor, LonVarnadore. Or Lon space E Varnador. You can find me on Amazon. I'm on Kobo, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, iBooks. I'm everywhere. The series that just dropped today is at the moment Kindle KU only, and that's Junker Blues Mars.
And have you used Kindle Unlimited in the past?
I have. I have discovered very little for me personally. I haven't seen much return from KU.
Okay, so you're more of the wide.
I'm much more of the wide, but I wanted to do an experiment of just doing the first three of these of the Junker Blues series are going into KU. And once I'm done with all three, I want to see maybe how it goes in another 90 days post to see how it does. And if not, I'm pulling it out and going wide. So.
Got it. Well, that would be interesting too. One of the things I'd like to do is when I talk to an author, follow up with them, like I said, 6 months to a year later. So that'd be a great thing to check. And how are things going with that? Because that's a huge thing with authors. Should I do Kindle Unlimited and nothing else? Or should I go wide? And where would that? And it changes because new avenues are opening all the time. Draft to digital keeps adding, and Publish Drive keeps adding. And so there's all sorts of changes constantly. So that'll be something to be very curious to find out more about from your perspective and how things went for you. All right. I appreciate the moment to talk to you. I look forward to seeing more in the future, and hopefully we're running into each other if we ever have events again.
All right. Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just a question. Were you going to go to New Orleans in the fall?
No. I mean, I hope it happens, but no, I am hoping to do the Boston one.
Oh, I'll have to go check. I'm not even up on that one. I'll have to go check.
Yeah, they announced at the very end of the summit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't checked up on. I'm behind on podcasts and everything, so.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Maybe I'll get to see you then, man.
Maybe.
It'll great. Cool. Thanks, right. Lon. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.